Hi, so I'm Niels, a Sysmocom employee, as I said earlier, and I'm my pet peeve is the codecs in Osmocom, and historically we were quite bad at it, and in the meantime we've gotten good at negotiating codecs per se, but there's still this thing with AMR. AMR has options, and I'm just going to explain some stuff about this. It's like the nice picture. Let's see how the zoom goes. Yeah, I'll just adjust it. So, what is AMR in the first place? It's like this RFC, and the key thing that I'm going to talk about are the different rates, the kilobit per second rates that AMR uses, and how we figure them out. Because the other stuff, before I thought it's really hard, but the only hard stuff is actually the rates. I'm going to explain it. But I'm going to go fast, all right? So these are the eight rates and the SID frame, which is basically silence. Just take in this list. Let us continue, and let me take away the pointer. Right, so how is this done? The two phones talk to each other over a huge infrastructure, and the one has the AMR encoder and the other has the AMR decoder, and you know, they talk to each other in both directions. And it's in band, it's in the RTP packet, is the request for this codec or that. And it's actually, this is what it looks like. Like the one side asks the other side to change the mode. Here, for example, there's a, it's not change mode request, it's
codec mode
request. And here it asks, please continue with the high bit rate. And right now we were getting a very low bit rate. So that's just an example, like a Wireshark trace. So, I don't know why this table is here again. That's the thing. If the rate is fine, then we get another value here. This is the 15. It's sort of like the ninth rate, which says the codec is fine. It's like, it's just to remember this value, not very important. So how does this look in detail? Like if both sides talk this rate, and then the one side says, please change to 12K2, and then the other side changes to 12K2. Okay, now it has to happen both ways. So the one side is still on 7K4, and if that also asks for 12K2, then we have 12K2 on both sides. So it can be one rate on the other side, one rate on the one and the other on the other side. So let's just bear this in mind. So it's quite possible to have a call where like one side is sending 12K2 and the other 4K75. So one guy says, what's wrong? Your voice is really bad, or no, it's perfectly fine for me. So I had these situations, so maybe it's due to this, I wonder. And the spec goes on to say there's no out-of-band signaling needed for the change mode requests. So basically to switch modes, it's all in-band. And also every coder and decoder has to support all the modes. And that's really nice, right? So the phones just figure it out with each other, and there's eight rates, and let's just, you know, pick any rate you like. You're supposed to support them all, and let's go. So thanks. This is my talk. The world is nice, and oh, wait a minute. Why do I have more than 100 more slides? Okay, so slight detour. You know this when you open a book and it says how to read this book. I always skip these chapters, but I'm going to give you how to listen to this talk now. I'm going to throw lots of dense information, but the aim is to just, you know, skim the surface and get the important bits across. And so there's going to be text dumps, and it's just, you know, it's like a picture. It's like a screenshot of the spec where you would later look what I was talking about. So this is what we had in the spec. And then comes this little word that says, however. However, what's going to happen now? Right. So, however, some transport systems may impose limitations on the number of modes, for example, GSM. Damn, okay, so now it has to support 8 modes, but we just have to pick 4 of them. Okay, fair enough. How hard can it be? But the point is, to pick these modes, we suddenly need out-of-band means. And that's basically what the entire talk is about. Out-of-band means. So, now going ahead, what we're going to see now is I'm going to move across the 2G and 3G LANs. And basically, over here and here and here and here, everything is fine. And we have a big problem on the A interface, and that's what I'm trying to get at. So I'm going to quickly run through all the simple arrows and just show you that it's 8 rates that you can pick from, and then we'll compare it with the A interface. So what's the obvious one? Let's start with SIP all the way to the right. We have SDP. It's going to come up a lot. And so this is just an example. Let's break it down to the AMR relevant bits. It says here the payload number 98 is supposed to be AMR, and it has this nice mode set thing here. It also has octet align, which is also very interesting to talk about. I have slides, but it's actually simple to solve, so maybe we'll skip it. So we have this nice line with 4 modes selected, and so this is like the interesting bit now for me. What's this mode set? Basically says it's 8 modes. And right, so if I just put these 4 modes here, 0, 2, 4, and 7, it means I support 4K75 and these other rates, whatever this number corresponds to. So it's really simple. Right, so here on the right in SIP, we have the mode set in the SDP. And now luckily, since not so long ago, we also talk SDP to the MSC, so there's also a mode set popping up here. So we have that solved, but some of you, most of you may know that in MGCP we also have mode sets. So that's the same thing on these cross arrows to the media gateway. Ah, but hold on, we're supposed to pick only 4, so let's just, you know, to remember it later, let's just put this 0247 here. So on the SIP, we could talk 8 modes, but we have to sort of limit it to 4. It's like the first thing you need to take care about. So what's the next simplest thing is the 3G. You know this. What are the important messages where codecs are negotiated? It's the RAP assignment. That's what it looks like. This RANA protocol is a nightmare. So let's break it down a little bit. So there are these mysterious SDU subflow sizes, whatever, there's lots of numbers. What is this? I have no idea. But turns out these numbers sort of correspond to this table, which says, for example, if you want 12K2, then you put these 3 numbers in your SDU subflows. And I'm not really sure if you can pick different numbers, but the result, it matches with the table from AMR, and basically this way across, you know, weirdly, like all the index 0 make up 12K2, all the index 1 make the next rate, and so on. Yes?
But I don't have a mic anyway.
So now I have a mic. This is from the physical layer, because UMTS is universal. So you can universally reconfigure your transport channel flow bundles, or however they're called, on the physical layer to basically say, well, I have these bits with that amount of protection and I need that many of them. And that's sort of, because AMR has these requirements, you basically configure your radio carriers in a way and you're encoding over those radio carriers in a way. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, so, well, I find it curious. I think later it will show up that, like, this first number has to be a specific number, but yeah, I don't know. I didn't dive in depth. So the main takeaway here is you can represent all the 12 rates at the same time, the 8. And this is the table from the AMR spec, which is like the same numbers show up. It's like the class A bits are sort of this first subflow, and then all together make up this number. So I don't know. That's the only thing I figured out, really. So the too long didn't read is, it's like a mode set. You can represent all the modes in one. Okay, great. So. But what about IUUP? It's just a little detour, something special on 3G. We don't just do RTP. We put another IUUP header in there, and that also negotiates rates. Just, you know, why? I don't know. Maybe, I don't. Anyway, let's look at this IUUP initialization. It looks like this, slightly better, but let's just compress it a little. And then we see, again, these numbers show up. This example only has 12K2 and SID frames. And now, all of a sudden, they are arranged in a sane way, like from left to right, or, you know, whatever, I don't know. That's, I'm just telling you that's how it is. And the interesting point is, like, here, the media gateway gets IMR modes from the HNB gateway, and it again gets AMR modes from the RFCI subflows, RFCI flows from the IUUP init. Hopefully they will match. I mean, they should match. Maybe we don't need the MGCP, but then again, we need to, you know, reserve the port. And so I don't know what. Okay, anyway, fine. We can deal with it. So right. So now we added the 3G. Never mind that it expands a lot. So we have the. Can I reach it? We have run up over SCCP, run up over RUA with the. SDU subflows, and then we have the RFCI flows, and you know everything works, but we still have to select four modes. Now to the next simpler one in 2G. Well, that's the entire 2G. This is like ABUS and A, both in one chart. These are the relevant messages that convey the AMR modes. So what is in these messages are these bits. So in the beginning, in the complete layer 3, we get told what the BSS can do and so on. So let's first look at the easiest one is, I think, the bearer capabilities. Sort of looks like this. Let's compress it a little bit. Basically, it just says use, like FR3 is AMR with full rate modes, and HR3 is AMR with half rate modes. So there's no more specific mode selection. It's just, you know, I support this. So let's just, you know, ignore this for now. Next simpler one is the multi-rate config, which is, again, a very simple bit mask where you can combine everything you like. And so what's left? So this is, I write like mode set because, again, you can represent all the modes. And what's left now is this annoying speech codec thing. Speech codec and speech codec list are encoded in the same way. It looks like this. Let's compress it a bit. Okay, again, we have FR3, HR3 that can be put there. And then there's these mysterious bits, the S0 to S15. Ah, so it's 16 bits. Maybe I can represent even more modes. Let's see what this is all about. Turns out this table tells you what this is all about. And the table is called preferred configurations, but still, it's the only way you are able to represent the modes on the A interface, so it's pretty much the forced configurations. So what is going on here? We have HR and FR. Now, first of all, what's this OM? I read into it a bit, but you know, turns out that's what it is. But 4808 defines that we don't use any of those, and also for HR, some modes get removed because we can't do such a high bit rate. So long story short is these things go away for GSM, and you also notice that we don't have 5K15 at all, so I'm also removing that. Fair enough, we have some modes, we can work with it, maybe we can even make a bit mask of these, but you know, turns out this is vertical, so if I pass, say, bit 8 as 1, it means I can use these two modes, right? But what on earth is this thing here? Why are there braces? Okay, so it's allowed for half rate, but it has 12K2, which is not possible on half rate. What is this? Okay, so in case of bit one, it means that for HR, of course, 12K2 is not included, of course. So what is this? For full rate, we have this table. For half rate, some disappear, but also bit one suddenly gets a different meaning. So, I mean, trying to write this in simple data structures is like, you know, what is this now? Everything was so simple all the way, you know, and so we defined all these nice bit masks. We have all the rates. In the beginning, even the decoder is supposed to understand them also, you know. And then it goes on to say that this mode one is very desirable, the one that has the double meaning, because apparently for transcoder-free operation, it gives optimal voice quality. That's what the spec says. So now we just have four fixed modes, and we can't really pick anymore. Another spec says the same. Another spec says the same. I don't know. What's also important down here is this is, let me, it is mandatory. See in the bottom, whoops, it is mandatory for an AOIP supporting BSI. I don't know if it means we must always use bit one or we have to support bit one. I mean, we support it anyway, I don't really get it. But it feels a bit like, you know, now we're only supposed to use these three or four modes. So it feels a little like we did all this effort and it's very graceful. And then here comes the A interface, poof, oh damn. So yeah, and then we have to exit in grace somehow. We have to, you know, finish this move that is not a complete failure. So let's just, you know. So how do we do this? What is this S1? Maybe I'm going to go through this a bit faster. How's the time? Yeah. So what is the interesting question to me is, will they work together? So this is just in principle. General example, it is possible that rates mismatch when we pick the wrong ones, and it's possible that each side sends a rate that the other does not support, and when it requests one that the other does not support, it won't get it, and they keep not talking to each other, and it's not going to work. So I actually had this during tests once, and I noticed, oh, my AMR rates aren't figured out properly. So, what's this now? Let me just skip it. I have enough slides anyway. Ah, yeah, genau. This is about, you know, when... now let's see. If one side has half rate with the three and the other has the fourth one, it can be fine, like, when the one side starts off with 7K4, it will stay on 7K4. The other side will always request 12K2 in every single packet. The first side will always say, no, I can't do it. So, I mean, 7K4 is fine. But if the one side starts out with 4K7, a very low rate, it is likely to stay on that low rate if it's not intelligent enough to figure it out. And during tests, I saw that it's not necessarily intelligent. So I don't know. This is kind of messed up. But what's interesting is the media gateway is also allowed to influence these bits. So we could basically, let's skip this entire text. If we put the media gateway in the middle, when the mode request for 12K2 comes in, we can notice that the other side doesn't support 7 or 12K2. So we could modify it to 7K4 and make it happy. Then the one side will continue to send mode request for 12K2, the media gateway will change it, but at least, you know, we will get away from the slow rate. So we are allowed to do this, probably will implement it. It's not in place yet, but yeah, that's interesting. So on 2G, to complete the picture, we have the bit mask on ABUS and the S0 to 15 on A. Not perfect, but yeah, we can make it work, sort of. So, octet align, should I go into this? Yeah. Basically, it says octet in the specs. Octet align is or bandwidth efficient are two ways to pack the AMR data. One is slightly longer. I think it's only, is it only 1 byte long? I don't know. It's very easy to see the difference from the packet sizes. It's, you could auto detect which is which, and you could, our media gateway can transcode this on the fly very efficiently. So, well, the spec says always use bandwidth efficient on the A interface. When I found this, looked, okay, wait, why do I see octet align equals one such a lot? Well, it turns out all our 2G BTS so far all use octet align equals one, even though it's specified to have to use zero. And when we omit this format parameter, it means octet align equals zero. So our MGCP says the correct thing, but in practice, we're sending the other one. And right, but it's easy to solve. We can just, you know, configure one thing in the BSC and MSC and convert everything to that, and it's going to work out okay. And we can even transcode it to the remote call leg if that requires it. So that's octet align was like not a big problem. So even if something doesn't work, we can automatically detect it and fix it like that. So that's not a big deal. But the rates are a big deal because SDP has to negotiate codecs. So what if the one side has a different idea of the other, in particular about the RTP payload type numbers? Like every packet says I'm number 96, for example, and then that means AMR. But they can be defined differently. So both sides have to decide, like, okay, I'm going to use 96 or 112. And now I'm asking myself, when the other side says a different number, do I adopt this different number? Or does the other side have to take mine? Or how, you know, do both have to agree? Can they be different in different directions? So I try to figure this out. And now the next slides are like my odyssey to finding out about this. And there's lots of stuff like STP itself says, I am the session description protocol, but I'm not intended to support negotiation of session content or media encodings, but that's exactly what we're using it for, so it's kind of what. Right, so that's what I asked before. Like here, both sides talk the same number, that's fine, but you know, they agree through the signaling, and then they tell both their media gateways to use 69, and then it's fine. But what if the other side picks a different number? We have to sort of resolve it. So there's a couple possibilities here. So either both switch to the other number, or it means, well, you can use that, but I'm going to stay here. So maybe, you know, it means a different thing in the two directions. If we wanted to do that, then the media gateway would have to know both sides. Currently, we send only one. So I thought, well, it can't possibly be, you know, I mean, how could our MGCP have been wrong for all the time? And, well, there's still a different idea I had. Maybe the media gateway has a fixed list, and we ask the media gateway, then tell the other side, well, maybe the other side wants a different number, and then, you know, they talk, you know, never mind the details. So far, I and my patches use this paradigm that both use the same number, and whoever came last gets to say which payload type number both sides have to use. And this sort of the naive idea that I had of this. And I struggle to find specs for this. And what's also interesting to consider is that we also need to tell the BTS about it in some specific IP access sort of like MGCP thing. And there I'm asking myself, you know, can the BTS do different numbers in both directions or maybe not? Well, there's this payload, i.e., well, okay, there's also this payload 2, i.e., what is this? I don't really know. I'm not sure, but let's just skip this for now and see, can MGCP tell us anything about the AMR rates? And turns out, in the MGCP spec, they have an example where there's two SDP chunks in the MGCP. So I could technically tell it the local and the remote side, and the local is always before the remote. So this is sort of, there is provision for this, so maybe we have to change the way we use MGCP in Osmocom, I don't know. Can SIP tell us anything about it? SIP says SDP not shown, SDP not shown, this SDP message is not shown, so it doesn't really care about SDP. But it talks of an offer answer model, interesting. And so you're not saying anything, but oh, then I found this footnote 13. Look at the spec 3264, RFC 3264, and that's like, that answers most of our stuff. So the introduction is basically, yeah, SDP is really nice, but it was intended for multicast. Now everyone is using it for unicast. Suddenly you have to configure two sites instead of one, but that's incomplete. So here's our spec, and we're going to solve all these problems. So, here it says, have only one SDP chunk. Phew, thanks. We don't have to use two. Here it says, here it says that the RTP could change the number at any time, but well, to switch the codec on the phone, we have to have signaling, so we can't change all the time. So we have to narrow it down to like one choice between the two in practice. Here it says, the answer might indicate a different payload type number, and the offerer must then use the type, the numbers from the answer. So like the one side has to adopt. And then in the answer, it says something different. It says the other one has to take the one from the one end. So I mean, let's compress this a bit. The offerer must send from the one from the answer. The answerer must use the one from the offerer. So basically, it is this, you know, it's this disagreement two thing where we should have to tell the media gateway, the local and the remote side, because receiving is a different payload type number than sending. Okay, so we have to rewrite everything. Well, maybe not. What if we just send another offer? Coincidentally with the same number that the answerer had, and then both sides agree, and then we can sort of cheat and remain on the single payload number we have. So this is all in flux, this is code on branches, this is trying around what is going to work. And yeah, so I was going to show that it works. Not sure if I'm going to do it, but how I'm going to do it is with this graphic that I had. Where is it? So I'm going to, yeah, let's take another one. There are so many. Okay, let's take this one. I think I need a chair here. So what happened in my trace that I was going to show is we had a half rate channel sending a mode set basically without the 7 to the MSC calling a 3G phone. Now this H-Node B I was using, the Nano 3G, at that point only supports 12K2. No matter what I tell it, it always comes back with only 12K2. So TCHH and 12K2, they won't mix. So then I have some special config in the MSC telling it that this RNC with this ID only has 12K2. So then it knows that the mode sets are not compatible, and then the MSC will send another assignment request to the BSC telling it, no, you have to pick an FR3, please, an FR3, not an HR3. And then I got a mode change implemented that actually switches the phone over to a full rate channel when there's 3G involved. So that was just an interesting feat. I also tried this because in the beginning, the ARN 900 I was testing did sort of the same thing, only 12K2, but turns out the ARN 900, the newer version, I was then able to test, supports all the modes. So this is not really that important anymore. So for AMN, it's good news. So we will have codec negotiation and interop, transcoding-free interop of 2G and 3G when we get these patches merged. So so that's my world. So basically, that was the end. Thanks. Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, why not?
So it was not finally clear to me. So how do you overcome the limitation of four mode set? Well, four modes in the mode set.
That's another difficulty. It's it's sort of a longish thing again. I actually forgot to put it in the slides. But if the remote side is some SIP, whatever, we don't know what, and it sends to me the list of all the modes, where 0 to 7, all of them represented, and I can only do a subset of those, I am actually supposed to reject this codec completely. So somehow, we have to hope, we can offer the remote side some STP, and then hopefully that will come back with, okay, I'm fine with only these four modes. But, that's sort of still in flux. And what would also be nice is to get some idea, which I don't really have, of how the voice over IP world, how it looks in practice. Because, these specs are so spread out, and it's just, lots of the stuff seems so ad hoc. I would like to confirm this, with some PCAPs, which I haven't done yet. That if I want to represent, for example, these modes and these modes and these modes, for every bit column we had there, I have to have a separate AMR entry in the STP. So if I have 16 different modes, I have to have 16 different things, and then 16 more for the octet align equals 1. So the STP is really going to blow up. So actually, it might be a good idea to just use this S1 everywhere, and it would simplify things, and then make sure that we don't miss the mode, the channel mode requests, change mode, whatever. Yeah, codec mode requests.
Hey, thanks for the great talk. Mm. And to complicate things even further, I guess it's not only the two phones telling each other which codec to use. I think the BTS, at least in GSM, can also decide to downgrade or upgrade the rate in AMR.
Yeah,
and that's even worse.
I think I skipped this one line, but the BSC is supposed to know about this, and it is supposed to tell the MSC which rates are supported. In this codec list, in brackets, BSS supported, we already get these S1 to 15 bits that are supposed to match what the BTS is able to do.
So I think what the BTS is doing, it can autonomously change between the those four that form the current active codec mode set, yeah. So that is something that it can autonomously do, and it's perfectly legal because everybody has agreed that those four codec modes in this active mode set are acceptable, and then either side can autonomously change within those four modes. But if you want to change that subset, then there's a lot of signaling, which I guess nobody wants to look into. I know it exists, but it complicates things even massively further.
Yeah, so in this example, the leg B selected these four modes, and leg A selected only these three. I mean, this is S1. And then the rest is in-band negotiation. Yes?
I feel the pain a little bit. I know I'm always, for some reason, can never remember what the STP is, the offerer telling the other side, this is what you should send me, or is it saying, this is what I'm going to do. But regardless of that, why are you concerned with having matching payload type numbers on both flows?
Well, if I can say, this, in the RTP, there's no more information about what the payload is. I don't know, what chart was I trying to show now? Didn't I have this? I'm just going to talk through it. Yeah. So In the beginning, we negotiate, like, for example, number 3 is fixed. It's GSM full rate. But they are the dynamic ones, so IMR is not a fixed. So you can use 96 or 112, and then apparently our BTS mostly use 96, and then further up in the core network, we use 112. So it has to figure out. And in the RTP, there's only binary data and this payload type number that's supposed to tell you, okay, this is GSMHR, or this is AMR this, or this is AMR that. So both sides, you know, when I send 96 to the one side, the side has to know, oh, 96 is supposed to be AMR. So we have to do this out of band, because if I send it 112 and it thinks 96 is AMR, then the voice call won't work.
Yeah, I know, I get that. But my point is, sorry, maybe I'm not clear, is that I don't really see a problem that on the direction of RTP from the media gateway to the BTS, it's using payload type number 112, mm-hmm. and then the BTS is sending payload type 96, because each side of this knows which payload type it should expect. Like, these are independent, as far as I understand.
What you're talking is that one direction could be different than the other.
Yeah,
well, the point is that so far I'm only telling the media gateway one number. So far, we don't have space for a second number. I would have to tell this endpoint, yeah, you can use 96, or you told me you use 96, but the other one is using 112. So, you know, I mean, it could also be the semantics. What I tell you is the remote side, and what you tell me is what you're trying to send. But this, you know, I only realized this recently that there are these different possibilities, and, you know, I'm still in the process of figuring this out.
Thanks. So I think in general, my understanding has always been, and I think a lot of it speaks for it, that you have the payload types independently, and SDP is a session, and a session is unidirectional, and it doesn't impact what the other direction means. But the problem is that we don't have SDP on the ABIS over IP side, and IP access did not specify different payload types for the different directions. So on the ABIS side, in RSL, there is no information element where we can tell basically the payload type for uplink is different than the payload type for downlink, right? So that sort of is a constraint there. So we would have to come up with an Osmocom-specific RSL extension information element, which basically allows us to specify a different payload type in the different direction. But I think in general, let's say from the media gateway at the BSC upwards, I think it should all be fine unidirectionally. And one thing that didn't come up in the slides is also that 3GPP also specifies hard-coded payload type number for the A interface. So while you can really negotiate dynamically anything in SDP, for the A interface, it's locked down that there is number 103 means a certain codec. So, but only on the A interface, not on any of the other interfaces.
This was the slide about the, you know, talking to the BTS. We can only tell it this one number. Maybe we could tell it more, but I'm not sure. Apparently not.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to say that, I mean, we just commented on this topic several times because it's so confusing. And then because when you are using SDP to configure the MGW, actually you are kind of going to some other model where like the client, the MGCP client, it's like as if it was the peer of the MGW because it's speaking as in behalf of the client. And then you are configuring actually like one peer of the connection, but then it doesn't really become clear which direction of the stream are you configuring. So, and that's the problem because you really don't configure one direction. You just configure like one endpoint of the two endpoints that actually form the stream in both sides. So that's the confusing part, I think. And it I think it's not really specified on what are you actually configuring with those? Because I think, as you said, it was thought to be unidirectional, probably. So yeah, I didn't really come with a good conclusion either. So,
and there's one yet another complication is on the SDP arrow on top. It's like in SIP. This is like between two callbacks, right? You see MSC1, MSC2. So this is SDP in SIP, and SIP specifies this offer answer model, right? MGCP doesn't. MGCP leaves it open, or at least I didn't find it in there. So maybe, you know, on SIP, we're supposed to do this offer answer model, this, you know, and maybe on MGCP, it's not an offer answer. It's like, do what I say. You know, that's like kind of an historical problem, it seems, with the STP, what it was intended for and what it's actually being used for.
In any case, I'm afraid we need to wrap it up here.
Yeah.
We will not be late in the next presentation.
Thanks, finally. Thanks for the excellent questions completing the scope of the talk.